We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is In the Know, the Bourbon Street Shots podcast. It's all Pelicans, all the time.
And welcome to the show. It's been a little longer than I first promised for this one to come out, but I had to travel and I have lots of excuses that none of you care about. So I'm going to actually stop right there. I brought on Mr. Graham McQueen to continue our preview of other divisions and talk about what teams did and what we think about them in preparation for basketball, which is only a month away before training camp is in full swing. And they have, I think, exactly 1 month from now, there's their first preseason game. So it's not too far. I am dying a little bit for basketball, though. The Olympics did not cut it for me.
No way. I need basketball in my life.
And sadly, like, watching the Olympics, like, even the players that were there at the Olympics, they weren't the guys that I really love to watch. But I think I said that last podcast.
Yeah.
So I am going to skip my whining about the Olympics. And we're going to talk. We decided we picked the Atlantic Division because we did a Western Conference one. So now we're going to do an Eastern Conference one. We picked Atlantic. For those of you who don't know what the Atlantic Division is because you don't care, it is the Boston Celtics, the Brooklyn Nets, the Philadelphia 76ers, the Raptors, and the Knicks. Those last two cities don't get their city name included because I got lazy. So I guess we are going to just jump right into it because there really isn't too much more news. Actually, there is one piece of news. I almost forgot. Graham, yes or no to Lance Stephenson as a New Orleans Pelican?
Oh, my God. I was so surprised when I read about that was actually,
really?
that could, I don't know. Why? This is one thing that I really, I don't get it actually. I really don't have an explanation for this. It might've just been a rumor. I don't know. But why would they, what role would he fill? Honestly can't tell you.
Maybe they got bad news about Quincy. That's the only thing I could think of.
That's true.
Right? If you got bad news about Quincy, you might kick the tires on a guy who used to be at least pretty solid as a wingman.
Yeah.
I don't know. There is the possibility, of course, that, you know, players who are on the outs, headed out of the league, you routinely get these such and such a team is working out or taking a look at so and so. You kind of got to take a look at their agent.
Yeah.
And see who else maybe they might be representing, because sometimes an agent of another player on the same team may be an agent of Lance and saying, hey, work out my guy, just as a favor to me, so there's some buzz around him. And to keep the agent happy, it's no skin off your nose if you work out the guy and say, okay, great, thanks, and let him leave.
Yeah.
And hey, if he shocks you, maybe you bring him on board, but that's a possibility at least, right?
Right. Yeah.
So what are your odds? What are your odds that Lance Stephenson is part of the training camp roster? And I believe they can bring 20 into training camp. So 20 people that enter training camp.
Okay. I'm going to nip this in the bud and just say zero. I don't want to talk about the possibility of Lance Stephenson being a Pelican. Nothing against Lance. I mean, he's entertaining. He's probably better than some of the guys we have, maybe. Like, he would be one of our 15 or 16 best players, I guess. Right? I guess you could say that.
Yeah, probably.
I guess when I put it that way, it doesn't sound so bad. But, no, I'd put it at 0% that he's on in our preseason roster or anything.
You stole my thunder. I was going to go 0% too. So, sorry. Sorry for anybody who wanted Lance, who was ready for Born Ready again. He's pretty much played his way out of the league the past couple of years. I mean, I guess he was okay in Memphis for a short time last year, but okay is about as far as you can go. So now let's actually jump to the Atlantic Division. We're starting with the very interesting Boston Celtics. For those of you who didn't pay attention at all to what happened this offseason, essentially, they went out and landed a really big free agent in Al Horford to come in and play power forward on their team, and some center, of course. And then they drafted Jaylen Brown, the guy who I was absolutely terrified of and really, 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 really did not want to see the Pelicans take. So, but he went off the board at number 3. I did a little fist bump.
When you saw that happen and you were just, you got excited, like,
yes.
Okay. I was interested.
You were interested in Jaylen Brown?
I was. I mean, I didn't want the.
Do we need to get you on Tinder with him?
I did not want the Pelicans to pick him. Okay. I did not want to be matched on Tinder with Jaylen Brown. Right.
You just were interested in what he could be.
I was interested in if somebody else would match him with him and how that matchup would turn out. I just didn't want to see it unfold up front. Right.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, he is one of those really high ceiling, really low floor kind of prospects that he could be out of the league in 2 or 3 years, or he could be a star in 2 or 3 years, and you have no idea which.
No idea. But I will say, I like the competitive attitude that he has. I do like a lot of things about him. Although whatever I watched on the court didn't seem like a top 3 pick, you know.
Yeah, it was. He's aggressive without a lot of skill.
Yes.
Is how I would put it.
Yes, I agree.
So, if he can develop the skill, then the aggression will help him, and he'll be good. If he can't, he's going to be an utter disaster. So that's our take on Jaylen Brown. Our hot take on Jaylen Brown. But that's really what they did. They did let Jared Sullinger leave.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the other big real change to their rotation from last year. Everything else, they brought in Al Horford to replace Jared Sullinger, and they drafted Jaylen Brown.
They lost Evan Turner, too.
And they lost Evan Turner. I was just about to bring that up because I was going to quantify that as I guess it is a big change. For me, it's not a big change because you don't want Evan Turner on your team.
Well, he was there you know, the times that, you know, when Isaiah Thomas wasn't on the court, even when they were on the court, actually, a lot of time, he was there. Evan Turner was like their ball handler. He would run the offense because, you know, Isaiah Thomas is a great player, but he's like a I score first type of person. Evan Turner was there. He was their guy.
Yep. And Avery Bradley is not that kind of guy.
No.
So here is their starting lineup. Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Al Horford, and Amir Johnson. That's projected. It might be Kelly Olynyk because he's a surprisingly effective, goofy-looking player. This is what's fun about this team. Their second unit is Marcus Smart, probably RJ Hunter, Jaylen Brown, Jonas Jerebko, and Kelly Olynyk. And then they have Gerald Green and Terry Rozier and Tyler Zeller. These are all guys who've at some point in their career shown that they can do something on this team. This is a well and truly deep team.
Yeah.
They're being projected to win in about the 50 range, 52 to 53 range. They won 47 last year. So here's the question for you.
Okay.
Is the loss of Evan Turner and the replacement of him and Jarrett Sullinger with Al Horford and Jaylen Brown only worth like 3 or 4 wins?
I don't know. Here's the thing. People say, just look at it like, oh, okay, yeah, I'd rather have Al Horford than Jarrett Sullinger, obviously. I'd rather not have Evan. A lot of people don't like Evan Turner because of his style of play. But they made up, like, even though I think both those guys played around like 25 minutes a night, so it's not like they were starters, but they made up like a big part of what that team was. Like their identity, their kind of culture, their whatever, their, mm-hmm. you know, whatever have you. So I think people are kind of underestimating, the changes that were made to that team. I think they're more in the 50 range. Like, I don't think they're in the 50, you know, 55 range.
Okay, so you're agreeing with like a 50, 52. If I told you they were winning 51 games this season, you'd be like, yeah.
Yeah, that's about where I would put them. I think, I mean, Al Horford's great. Like, that's a great signing. But he's not one to, like, carry a team, I don't think. So you got your score in Isaiah Thomas, but around that you just have a ton of these depth. I don't know. It's got to go right for you, you know. And I guess it's easier to win 50 games in the East, I guess. I guess it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It is.
I would say that. So.
Well, maybe not anymore. So that's the thing. I think the East and the West are coming. They're coming more in alignment than they used to be. Like the top in the West still feels a little heavier, but the middle areas, like, what is really the difference between, say, Memphis and Charlotte in your mind? Not a terrific amount, right?
Yeah, I mean, Memphis is, we could talk about, I mean, later.
did I take a hot button one for you?
Who knows? You know, last year they just got they started out well, but they ended up getting more injuries than we did or something.
Yeah.
So, but you never, like, I had picked them to fall off, but they still made the playoffs, even though they had no one left on their roster. And then,
all right. So how about Charlotte and Dallas? Is that a better comparison?
I think that's a better comparison. I did say Charlotte's better than Dallas.
But they're about the same kind of team. Yeah. Like, there's not like a huge difference. It used to be like Dallas or Memphis were going to win 50, 51 games.
Yeah.
And now they're going to win like 40, 41 right. games, or maybe a little more if they're lucky.
Yeah.
So same as in the East. All right. So here's my hot take on the Boston Celtics.
Okay.
I think that they're going to win like 57, 58 games.
Really?
Yeah. So I think that outside of rebounding, I think Al Horford does all the same things that Jared Sullinger did, but much better.
Mm-hmm.
He's much smarter. He's much better on defense. He's much faster. He takes all the same shots and hits them. He's basically like they took Jared Sullinger and polished away all of his weaknesses, and they got like a star. That is essentially what they did. And it used to be that you could play the Boston Celtics and put Jared Sullinger in a pick and roll, and you were scoring on them.
Yeah.
Like they're very clever defense, and they're going to make it hard on you. But as long as you involve Sullinger in a pick and roll, they had to scramble, and you could find an open shot. With Al Horford,
not so much. Yeah.
So in their starting lineup, like now their weakest defender in their starting lineup is Isaiah Thomas. And
I think generally speaking, it's easier to hide a point guard.
It is because you can switch that pick every single time. And then, you know, if there aren't a lot of guys who are good at taking a little guy into the paint and punishing them. That's just the reality. Everyone always says, well, if you get a switch, you just take the mouse in the house and take him into the paint and score on him.
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen because, like, here's the new NBA. if you get that switch, you now have to push your way into the paint, turn, receive the ball, post up, and score. And there's a reason why that post up is dead in the NBA these days. It's because defenses can load up on any side they want to. They can send help from any direction they want to. They can cut any angle. So the post up is so much harder to execute, which is why I'm not interested in hearing Anthony Davis is working on his post up game. I want him to catch the ball on the move around the basket and do a hook or the old style of getting into the post, sealing your man, waiting to receive the ball. It just nobody does that effectively anymore, except for maybe two players.
Yeah.
So. I think Al Horford just fits everything they want to. And I am one of those people who 100% believes that Evan Turner was a net negative for them last year.
I think he was holding, he did a lot of things that they needed him to do, but he was one of these guys who kind of raises your floor a little bit, but because of his intelligence and his competitive attitude, but then lowers your ceiling because Evan Turner's the guy with the ball in the hands. Yeah. So no, I agree. I think they'll improve. I mean, Horford, he's perfect for them. I just don't think they'll win, over 55 wins. We'll see though.
Yeah. So now we're gonna play a game.
Okay.
I'm eliminating Al Horford because he's new money. But you have to tell me on this Boston Celtics team, who is the second highest paid player?
Okay. This is really hard.
Again, starting lineup, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley, Jay Crowder, Amir Johnson. Off the bench, you have Jonas Trebko and Marcus Smart and Kelly Olynyk.
It's got to be Crowder, I guess.
You think it's Crowder?
Because Isaiah's got – they got him on a good deal, right? He's a good deal. I remember that.
Yeah.
And everybody else is just – I'm pretty sure they don't really have any bad contracts. So, yeah, Crowder, I guess.
So this is one of the crazier things. Jay Crowder signed an extension with the Celtics after the summer after he was traded.
Right.
He's making $6 million a year.
Oh, jeez. So it's not him.
$6 million a year for a borderline all-star. No, it's Amir Johnson.
How much is Amir making?
He's making $12 million a year.
Oh, my God.
So Avery Bradley's third at $8 million a year. Isaiah Thomas is also at $6 million a year.
Yeah.
Tyler Zeller is making more money than Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder.
Tyler Zeller, what is he, like 8 or 9?
He got signed for a one-year $8 million contract.
Oh, my God.
Like this is the riches that the Boston Celtics have is not only that they have every draft pick known to man for the next 3 years.
That's a good usable contracts.
They also have Jay Crowder at $6 million. If you combine Jay Crowder and Isaiah Thomas's contracts, you have Solomon Hill salary.
Well, screw me, right? Unbelievable. Yeah. I've never thought about it like that.
It is amazing what they've managed to put together.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Danny Ainge, he's a pretty good GM.
Yeah. Well, you gotta flip it into something first, you know?
Yeah. Well, if they win 55 games, 56 games,
they'll have an easy time doing it then.
Yeah. So, all right. So that is the Boston Celtics. Is there anything else you want to talk about? I'm trying to avoid talking about Brad Stevens and how the Celtics always make my team look stupid. So is there anything else? Like Marcus Smart? Do you think Marcus Smart is going to be gonna make the leap? He's 22.
Well, they said so that Turner being that ball handler behind Thomas was holding Smart back. I've heard this before. Like now okay. that Turner's gone, he has that role to grow into. I mean, don't get me wrong. I like Smart. I don't think he has too much of a jump to make.
Okay.
Yeah. But yeah. I think he's a good player for him.
I like Smart is one of those guys who I would love to have on my team because he's going to compete hard. You can root for him. You just don't expect him to be a star for you. And
he's one of those guys you're just staring at his stats, like you're going to get the wrong impression about the guy.
Yeah.
But having said that, he needs to work on shooting and scoring and in general offense, but yeah.
All right, so now we're going to talk about the saddest team in basketball. And they're sad because they are basically victims of the teams we just talked about. Victims is a bit strong because they made their own bed. And we're talking, of course, about the Brooklyn Nets. Here is the fun part about the Brooklyn Nets. Their team is made up of so many unknown non-entity players, like small names, that if you go and look at the ESPN depth chart for them, they only have 8 people on it.
Oh my gosh, that's sad. That's so sad.
like
they hit you a full roster.
Yeah, that's something like ESPN doesn't typically put like rookies or kind of second rounders or unknown players on it on their depth charts. So that gives you an idea. There are only 8 players on the team that have enough name recognition that ESPN even bothers to put them in the depth chart.
They signed Grievous Vasquez. We are very familiar with Grievous Vasquez here. Is he on that? Is he on the ESPN depth chart?
And he is not on that. So I'm a little surprised about that.
Oh, that's a surprising one.
The two that should be on there that I think, you know, that aren't is Robinson.
Okay.
Thomas Robinson, the guy who came out with Anthony Davis, who, by the way, is 25 years old already.
You know, I'll say this. This is my shame. I thought he would be really good.
I'm on record saying that in that draft, if they couldn't land Anthony Davis and Jared Solinger together, they should land Anthony Davis and Thomas Robinson together somewhere.
Yeah.
I wanted the front court of the future.
Yep. I was a fan. I was a big fan.
So let's see. Here is the actual projected starting lineup of your Brooklyn Nets. Jeremy Lin at point guard, who is the new signing. Rondae Hollis-Jefferson, he was a rookie last year. He played pretty well.
Not bad.
Yeah, he still can't shoot, but good defender, plays hard.
Yeah.
Small forward Bojan Bogdanovic, who played fairly well in the Olympics. He can shoot and run a pick and roll.
He's your typical slightly small forward who can kind of do a couple things.
Yeah, he's okay. Power forward, the Trevor Booker, who I believe came from Utah.
Yep.
And at center, the one remaining star in their firmament, the guy who, you know, was supposed to take along with Paul Pierce and Darren Williams, supposed to take them to the mountaintop, Brook Lopez.
Oh, gosh.
That's their starting lineup. And after that, their team is people like Caris LeVert, who they just drafted, Thomas Robinson. They signed Luis Scola.
Mm-hmm.
And they signed Grievous Vasquez as backup players.
Mm-hmm.
And they may be starters for all we know.
They got Randy Foy.
They dragged Randy Foy away from, and he got he got $2.5 million a year. Like in this market, Randy Foy, who shoots pretty well, is only worth $2.5 million for a year.
Well, he doesn't really. He's on his way out, you know. He doesn't really give you much. Like,
but then you see people like get like $8 or $9 million, and they're anyways.
Yeah, I don't know.
So they have Justin Hamilton, who's an LSU player. Or anybody loves that Justin Hamilton? Markel Brown, who actually he's a decent defender. He can't shoot a lick. Like they're all names of people who on every other team would probably be the 13th, 12th guy.
You're forgetting the best one.
Sean Kilpatrick?
Former first overall pick, Anthony Bennett.
That's right. Yes, Anthony Bennett has signed, and he's still only 23.
Yeah.
Like, but he has bounced around so much already, like you just can't see anything happening with him at this point. They do have Sean Kilpatrick, who, you know, was for a very short time on the roster of the Pelicans.
Was a fan.
Yeah.
He's a very unique look about him.
Yeah, and he's 26. Did you realize he was 26 years old?
I thought he was younger.
Yeah, 26 years old already.
Jeez.
So this is his chance. He's in the prime of his career. If he's going to do anything, this is where he's going to happen.
He's going to take that jump this year, if I'm kidding all the minutes.
So here's the reality. Basically, Thaddeus Young left this team or is traded for the draft rights to Caris LeVert in the end.
I thought I thought Thad Young was a good player. People didn't like him because he couldn't really, do much, like he can't really shoot from distance. He's not like your stretch power forward or anything. The guy is smart. He moves well, very well off the ball. And I think he's a good pickup for the Pacers.
Yeah, Thad always felt to me like he was the perfect sixth man change of pace guy.
Yeah.
Like you throw him out there and put him in the post, which will surprise people because a guy of his size isn't usually effective in the post. Get him onto a smaller guy, and he can't. He's the guy I was talking about before. He can actually punish those guys.
Oh, yeah.
His jump hook in the post is surprising.
Well, he's very I think he's got a good understanding of where to be and when to get the ball. Like he's not just going to go and sit in the post and sit there and wait and stand. You know, he's going to move. He's very active in that post box area. Like he's not just going to sit there with the guy on his back and wait for the ball. You know, he's gonna read whatever the pick and roll, which way it's going or whatever have you, and then he'll get in the right spot for a nice finish. That's just what he does. That's his game, you know.
Yep. So I have three questions for you about the Brooklyn Nets.
Okay. Maybe I can answer one. We'll see.
Okay. No, I think you'll be able to guess at each of these.
Okay.
First one, Jeremy Lin's their starting point guard.
Right.
You heard me list who they have on their team.
Right.
There is not really any other ball handler. I mean, Bogdanovich can handle it some, but there really aren't any other ball handlers on this team.
Not really.
How many points per game is Jeremy Lin going to average as the starting point guard of the Brooklyn Nets?
That is an interesting question. You know, he did have a really good year last year.
Mm-hmm. And I'll keep in mind, Dan Dickow at one point averaged almost 13 points a game in the NBA.
Wow. You know, that does put a new light on it. I'm going to go in the 14 to 15 range.
Really? That low?
I don't think he can get up to 6. Well, no one else is going to score, I guess.
They got Brooke and Bogdanovich.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm going to stick with 15. I'm going to say 15 points per game, 6 rebounds.
I'm going 20.
Assists.
He's going 20 points a game.
I don't think there's any way Jeremy Lin goes through a full season at 20 points per game.
It'll round up. I'm actually guessing like a 19.7 or a 19.8 per game.
Okay. I'm going to stick with – I wouldn't be surprised if he got up to like 16 or 17. But I think over – if he plays like the entire season, I think he's going to get like a 15-6 – assist guy, 15 points, 7 assists, 6 assists, couple rebounds.
Okay. I believe in Jeremy Lin. I really do think, like, if he has the ball in his hands that much, and he's just going to have it in his hands all the time. Like, Tim Frazier averaged almost, like, 17 when he was starting for us.
Yeah, but it was like imagine if he did that for, like, 70 games. He wouldn't be able to keep – Tim Frazier could not keep that up for 70 games.
Yeah, but Jeremy Lin's a better player than Tim Frazier. Did I just start a fight? Are you looking up? Where does he live on Google Maps? I need to kill this guy.
I thought about it in my head. I was going to throw up the, is he? Is he? But no, Jeremy Lin's definitely a better player. But
I do want to take it back because I'm rolling 100% with Tim Frazier. I want to take it back.
Some good dance moves.
I'm on board with Tim Frazier.
I'm a fan of Tim Frazier.
Okay, so that was the first question I had for you.
Okay.
Second question, and this one is a little unfair.
Mm.
So I'm eliminating Brook Lopez.
Okay.
Who is second highest paid? So I eliminated Brook Lopez. He's obviously the highest paid player on this team.
Okay.
Who's the second highest paid player on this team?
Well, we mentioned it. There's really no one else on that team. I mean, it's got to be – how old is Scola? What is his, like, minimum?
Scola is 36 years old.
So he's, like, a super vet.
Mm-hmm.
His minimum's got to be pretty high.
You probably can't make any less than $1.8 million or something like that, yeah.
I mean, I know Len got double digits.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think Scola got double digits. Hollis Jefferson's still a rookie. They're on a rookie contract.
Trevor Booker is their other starter. Hollis Jefferson, you just said, and Bogdanovich.
Ooh. No, not Barkley. It's probably Lynn. It's Lynn. It's Lynn or no. Just dropped my phone. I'm gonna go with Lynn. I gotta go Lynn.
All right. You asked. It wasn't actually that hard.
There's no one else.
So here's the interesting part, though. Actually, Trevor Booker,
mm-hmm.
who's always been a sub,
right?
Like he's never been a very good sub either. Like if you go take a look at his history, he's been kind of below average for most of his career. He's making $9.2 million this year.
How far is that off Lynn?
Lynn's 11.4.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Scola is at $5.5 million.
Oh.
And Vasquez is almost to $5 million.
See, I thought Scola would be at like 7 or 8. But yeah. At 36, yeah, five sounds great.
And Bogdanovich was brought over on one of those, you're not on the rookie scale anymore, you're making a decent amount of money in Europe, so we're going to give you a little bit more than you make in Europe kind of deals, which mm-hmm. usually end up, you'll see them signed at like $9 million over 3 years,
right.
Or $11 million over three, like that kind of thing. So yeah, he's at 3.5. So, and he's 27. That's the weird thing about this team. Other than Hollis Jefferson, you think like what they would have done this offseason if they're tearing it down to the studs, like is just go out and sign every possible young guy they could get their hands on, and just see if any of them work out. But instead, they signed 28-year-old Booker,
36-year-old Scola,
32-year-old Foy, 28-year-old Lynn. He's a fine player, but he's not your future.
Well, they're kicking the tires on Bennett, although, like, I think it's pretty obvious he's not going to be anything.
Right. Yeah. They brought in Henry Sims, who's he's played on every team in the league, it feels like. He's 26. Vasquez is 29. Like, it's just not – it's a weird, weird setup.
Yeah.
They have two rookies, but
they don't have. Let's see. They don't have any expirings anymore or anything, so it's not like any money's coming off the books for next year. But they don't really need to have money come off the books, I guess.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm so here, and here's I'm coming to the third question because you just mentioned it. What is the chance that after the trade deadline, give me the percentage chance that Brook Lopez is a Brooklyn Net.
Ooh, that he stays one?
That he is still a Brooklyn Net after this year's trade deadline.
Ooh, that's tough. How many years left on his contract? Two?
I believe he's got two, this one and next. And I think next is actually a player option.
Ooh, that's tough. I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to say he's going to 60% he's still a Brooklyn Net, 60%.
Really?
Yeah. At first I was going to say 40, but I switched it. I'm gonna go with my gut and say they don't trade him for some stupid reason.
Huh.
Who would they trade him to? Who wants a center getting paid over $20 million a year, who can't rebound, isn't a great defender? Not that Brooks a bad defender.
No, he's adequate.
He's adequate, but – and to score, he needs the ball in his hands. Who wants that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, here is what I would expect the Brooklyn Nets to be doing at the trade deadline. Here's Brook Lopez. Anyone will give me a first rounder for him.
Well, they did that this summer. It didn't work out.
I'm willing to bet that somebody will
will
give up a first rounder, especially if it's like the middle round.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, if you're the Pelicans and you had the chance to move a Ginza and something else, actually, you have to move something pretty big for Brook, don't you?
Yeah.
I'm struggling with that one. Maybe Tyreek isn't coming back this season. So you move Tyreek, a Ginza, and your first-round pick next year, and based on where your record is at that point, you're right in the middle. Like, could be as high as the 12th pick or 11th pick. Could be as low as the 19th or 18th. Isn't that worth Brook Lopez?
I mean – It would be worth Brook Lopez. I wouldn't do it still because I don't want Brook Lopez. but that's just me. But like that would be, yeah. I mean, that'd be a good. I think that's a good value trade, I guess. Yeah.
And just to correct myself, so everybody knows, it is not a player option next year. He's under contract this year and next for $21 million and then $22 million.
Oh, okay. All right. Hmm.
So you get a guaranteed year and a half of Brook Lopez.
That's true. Somebody would be willing to give up a pick. Yeah.
And so I keep actually going back to Brook Lopez, and I would be actually pretty fascinated to see Brook Lopez on this team. And I know the immediate reaction is, but what about Oshik? Like, who cares? Should we decide that, you know, if you can give away something like Tyreek Evans on his expiring contract when he's not going to play again, and Ajinsa, like what you're giving away essentially in that situation is the opportunity to spend that money next year. But if we're hoping to re-sign Drew Holiday anyways, we're not going to have cap space. No. So why not take a jump for Brook Lopez? Like, what's going to hurt?
And, the Oshik worst contract in the league thing, that's over.
Yeah.
Like, it's gone. It's after this summer, it is no longer really that bad. And with every passing month, it gets better. Because mm-hmm. you get to that last year, and it's not even guaranteed. You know, the more time goes by, the more that contract starts to look real friendly.
Yeah. And in my mind, it's like having Mo Pete or James Posey.
Yeah.
Those were annoying contracts, but they weren't the end of the world.
No. And I hope he has a bounce back. I hear people talking about he's going to have a bounce back year. I've heard it on a couple podcasts and from a couple outlets that he's going to – that, no, well, Oshik was really bad, but maybe he'll have a good year, you know. And Dell Demps, like, he said it a couple of times. It's like, for us to be good, we need Oshik to be good. It's like, yeah, if our players play well, that would help. But
so you've heard it here first. Graham McQueen has unequivocally stated that he personally saw Omer Oshik work out in his front yard.
I talked to him. We hang out on the weekends, and he's assured me that he will be good this year. You're hearing it from the mouth.
He's going to rebound and block shots and
he's here. Yeah, he's here to play defense and rebounder. What he had a quote. What was it? It was, I'm here to play defense. Like, that's all he said. Yes, he will come and play defense for us next year. Guaranteed.
Okay.
Guaranteed it.
So, win total, Brooklyn Nets, what you got?
Win? Oh, God. But they win this year. I think they win 5 to 10 more games than they won last year.
You think they're better than last year without Thad Young?
Yeah. Thad Young's not a guy who, like, he's someone who will...
Yeah, but you're replacing him with nothing.
Yeah, but he needs someone to give him the ball. Like, he needs someone to be smart enough to set him up. Like, he's one of those guys where, like, he's really good on a good team. He's still really good on a bad team, but doesn't have the impact because he's not – it's not like he – I don't know. I lost where I was going with that. But he doesn't – like, I don't know. I think they won more games.
All right, 21 wins from last season.
21?
So you're
good. I'll put them at – not 10. They're not going to win 10 more games. They won 21. I'll put them at 25.
25? Yeah, I don't see it. I think they're going to trade Brook. I mean, I'm giving Brook like a 5% chance of being on the Brooklyn Nets thing after the trade deadline.
I'm with Brook still being on the team and playing.
They're trading Brook. They're going to try to move anything they can for additional draft picks. This team is going for probably 15 wins, 16 wins.
I mean, I would think they'd be happy with less wins, right? Well, no, they don't have the.
It doesn't matter because they actually have to they'll get whatever the Boston Celtics. Yeah, they swap with the Boston Celtics.
Well, man, just
isn't that rough?
Terrible spot.
That is so rough. Like, can you imagine being a fan of the Brooklyn Nets? They're an awful team and they have no way for another 3 years to get a decent draft pick.
How did they get to this?
That is the magic of Billy King as your GM.
I went back and looked at it because I was curious. Just now I'm looking at Brook Lopez's thing. He's only been an All-Star once, but he played in over 70 games 3 out of the last 4 years. Mm-hmm. I thought he was more injury prone. He's basically missed 2 whole seasons, but in the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 that he hasn't missed, he's played over 70 games. He played 82 games, 3 of them.
Yeah, he had the same issue that Yao Ming and Zydrunas Ilgauskas did with a broken bone in his foot. And I forget which bone it is. they can repair it, and if they get it right, like Zydrunas Ilgauskas, if you look at his career, he missed two of his first four seasons entirely.
Mm-hmm.
And then he never missed more than 10 games in any season after that. So once they get it right,
yeah.
Poor Yao Ming, he broke it, and then he broke the other foot.
Yeah.
And then he was pretty much done. So.
Well, he had the, right, he had that thing where every single summer he was playing.
That's true.
In China, he never got like a time to rest or something. So.
Yep.
But not so for Brook. Brook looks like he's okay. All right.
So let's move on.
Okay.
To a new team. This one is not as sad as the Brooklyn Nets, although it had actually a worse record than last year. We are talking, of course, the Philadelphia 76ers. And so they actually had a good amount of turnover. They brought in Ben Simmons, the number one overall pick, to be their starting point forward, I guess is what you would call him. They have Gerald Henderson, who was I'm a fan of his. He was in Portland last year. He came in as their starting shooting guard. They signed Sergio Rodriguez, who did have a couple seasons in the league, I would say 4 or 5 years ago. I think it's five now.
Yeah.
They brought in Jared Bayless at guard as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're bringing Dario Saric over from Serbia, and he played in the Olympics pretty well. And they also hope that Joel Embiid, who was picked two seasons ago, will come back and actually play some games for them since he hasn't played a minute. So that's actually a pretty good list of things. They kept most of their other players that from the last few years, Hollis Thompson, Nick Stauskas. The only guy they actually lost that all of you are going to be really, really sad about, and it was their starting point guard. They gave us two first-round picks. Okay. Two second-round picks for him.
He's worth a first.
Well, I mean, he got a pretty nice deal. So, and he moved on from the 76ers. So,
yeah.
if you wanted to see Ish and Jahlil Okafor on the same court, you're not going to see it anymore. Sorry.
I saw something the other day, actually, about Ish, that he was one of, like, the top three-point assisters in the league.
Hmm. Yep.
Which I thought was interesting. But anyway.
So, Ish has his strong points. He's not a bad player.
No.
He's a perfectly reasonable backup point guard.
Out of all the point guards to play on the Pelicans last season, Anthony Davis had the highest field goal percentage when playing with Ish Smith than anybody else.
Yeah. That doesn't actually surprise me because Ish could actually get into the paint.
Yep.
So
Clay was number two.
Yep. So, okay. So starting lineup, don't know if it's going to be Sergio or Jared Bayless. Let's say you say who?
I think it's Bayless. Well, Bayless. Well, maybe. I think it'll be Bayless. Yeah.
Okay. I'm agreeing with you. I think Bayless will probably start. Gerald Henderson. Mm-hmm. His competition is Nick Stauskas, who's been awful. Robert Covington.
For Stauskas.
What's that?
They traded for Stauskas, right? What did they give up for him?
Actually, no. No. Well, they did trade for him.
Yeah.
But they were actually given the rights to swap picks with the Sacramento Kings.
That's what it was.
They actually got a better pick for that. Insane. Kings are crazy.
This is a great division that we've talked about. So.
Yeah. So they also have Robert Covington, who he's one of those weird players that RPM absolutely loves. Like, if you look at it, he's got great defensive numbers on RPM, and he's a pretty solid. If you take a look at that, he is a classic 3-and-D basketball player. But he was out of the rotation last year. This is a team that didn't have a guard.
Yeah.
And they didn't want to play him. So what? It's weird.
Over there.
So Ben Simmons, I don't think that there's any chance he's not the starting small forward for this team.
He has to be.
Like, unless he started him at shooting guard and bring in Saric at small forward. You can see that maybe, right?
Mm.
Maybe?
Yeah, maybe.
And then power forward, Jahlil Okafor or Nerlens Noel. Like, this is such a weird team.
There's too many centers. There's too many big men. There's no one who could shoot. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. They do. I mean, it is a little bit of an embarrassment of riches, though, to have as your like starting front court player, or your just your front court rotation is Ben Simmons, Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid. Like,
it's a lot of somebody really high, like high draft picks and names that people know, but not anybody who you actually know is going to be any good. Like, oh well, I mean, Ben Simmons, people have basically assumed he's going to be awesome, but
I think he will be.
I think he'll be too, but you don't really know about any of these guys.
Yeah. So if I told you in 4 years that Jahlil Okafor, Nerlens Noel, Dario Saric, and Joel Embiid were all backup players in the NBA or out of the league, are you surprised?
Not at all. I would expect at least two of those players to be just backups by that time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think Nerlens Noel's already proven that's what he is.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the offensive game to be a high-end starter. You'd have to have a really strong team around him.
Yeah.
And Jahlil Okafor, like, I don't know. He's a mess. I still think that he'll probably turn into an average starter in the NBA.
I think he'll be fine. It's just, well, you don't know. He's only had 1 year, and it wasn't the best year. People got on him for off the court stuff, but on the court, like he is smooth, man.
And he's a young dude. And Saric, I'm convinced Saric will be pretty good. Like, I watched him in the Olympics. The guy is, he plays hard. If people think of him as like he's going to come in and be the stretch four that every single European player everybody seems to talk about them being, that's not his game. He's not a shooter. But he's a pretty good ball handler. He knows how to move the ball. He knows how to be in the right places. I think he's just going to be a really good hustler and a good player. So
yeah.
And Joel Embiid, as far as I'm concerned, he's already done. Like can you think of any player who missed the entirety of his first two seasons with major injuries and then came back and was a major contributor anywhere?
When did he start playing basketball?
I don't know the answer to that, actually.
I think it was like at age 16.
Okay.
Right? And he is what now? He is, hold on, wait, I got it right here, 22.
Okay.
So 6 years of basketball playing experience, technically. Two of those just completely thrown out the window. Right? How is this guy going to, just because he's like a 7-foot athlete, he's going to be, like, what player misses their first two seasons? What player that misses their first two seasons and picked up basketball like halfway through their teens turned out to be, I don't know. I get really annoyed at this because like I've had quite a few interactions with 76ers fans, and they put so much like hope on like, oh, Embiid's gonna come back and Saric is coming over, and I'm just like, you're gonna be really disappointed. You're gonna be extremely disappointed. Like I saw there was like a post the other day or something on Twitter or something where like it wasn't the other day, it was like a month ago. But like it's Embiid working out against like a 5'6" coach, you know, and he dunks and everybody goes crazy, like, oh, Embiid looks fantastic, you know. I'm like, yeah, against a chair, you know. And I could probably look, no, I probably couldn't. But you know, it's I find it really hard to believe that this guy's not just gonna drop out of the league. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I think my highest expectation for Embiid at this point is that he becomes a Kwame Brownish journeyman center.
Kwame's trying to make a comeback.
Of course he is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I guess that was a weird thing. When I saw that, somebody was like mentioning like, oh, he's run out of money. So I went and looked, like, how much money did Kwame Brown make? He couldn't have made that much. The dude still made like $40 million.
Well, he made plenty of money.
So, $40 million. Oh, anyways,
no.
We're not here to talk about how foolish young men can be with their money times. All right, so Philadelphia 76ers. Here is the, and again, I'm going to rattle through these names, and you tell me who is making the most money.
Oh, my God.
And I'm doing most. There isn't even an obvious top guy here.
There's not.
I can give you most and be pretty comfortable. All right, again, your options are Sergio Rodriguez,
okay.
Gerald Henderson,
okay.
Jared Bayless,
okay.
Hollis Thompson, Ben Simmons, Jahlil Okafor, Dario Saric, Joel Embiid, Nerlens Noel. Any of these guys you want to take as the highest paid?
Philadelphia 76ers. Just throw out all the rookies, and that leaves like four people. Mm. You know, throw out all the people in rookie contracts. So I guess it's got to be Jared Bayless or Jared Henderson. No, I got that back. Jared Bayless and Gerald Henderson. I guess it's one of those two.
I'm not helping you. You got to pick one.
What are my other options? Can I go off the menu?
You can go off the menu if you like.
I'm going to go with Henderson, just because.
Because you think Gerald Henderson's a better basketball player, right?
Yeah.
So do I.
Is he the highest?
He is not. Jared Bayless.
Oh, my God.
Is being paid $9.4 million a year.
How?
That is my take, too. Like, when I was looking at their numbers, I was like...
Randy Foy. Like, Randy Foy is 32, and he was getting, what, 2.5? Mm-hmm. Is Jared Bayless $6.5 million better than Randy Foy, is he?
He's 28, at least, I guess.
I mean, that's just a number.
Yeah. Jared Bayless is one of the most inexplicable contracts. Like, I honestly believe he is of the ilk of, like, Aaron Brooks, the guy who can come in and not be an utter disaster, but is not good.
Like, he can play and not screw things up.
Right. Like, you can have him come in and cover, like, 10 games when somebody's injured.
So let's give him $9 million a year.
I was like, that's unbelievable. And the fact that Gerald Henderson made he's at 8.8. So he's pretty
close. Cool.
Yeah. But like Gerald Henderson, I'm a big fan of Gerald Henderson.
I like Gerald Henderson.
He's 28. I didn't realize he was 28. I thought he was in the 25, 26 range.
So. Henderson?
He did come out of school late, yeah. Didn't he? I think he's a 4-year senior.
I liked him. I wrote about him in the offseason. I thought maybe we could target him. He's good. He's good depth. He's got size in the wings. He's a good, strong, smart defender. He's just athletic as hell.
Yeah. The only other contract over $5 million on this team is Sergio Rodriguez.
Yeah.
He's 30. I didn't realize he's like I said he hadn't played for 4 or 5 years in the NBA. Yeah, he's 30 years old. He's a pretty decent pass first kind of point guard. Mm-hmm. But
where did he play? Portland?
He played in Portland, and I know he played in Sacramento for I think one season.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been two. And I remember he had some choice comments about Sacramento when he left to go back to Spain.
It's not surprising. I think everyone's got choice comments about that place.
It's crazy. And they used to be so much fun, too. That was, like, one of the things that drew me back into, like, picking a team and watching basketball, like, all the time again was watching that Lakers-Kings series.
Oh, my gosh.
That was so much fun in the Western Conference Finals, and now they're just such a disaster.
Total disaster. Well, they don't stick. I don't know what. We'll talk about this another time. But
yeah.
They just don't stick to any type of coherent plan for more than, like, three-fourths of a season.
Right, and they don't have any – like, I think their biggest problem actually is they don't have any patience.
No.
If they strike out on their pipe dream hopeful, the fact that they have that money or the opportunity to create that money, they will give up whatever assets they need to continue to make that money available to spend it on whatever the next person on their list was, even if option one was good and option two is below average.
Yep. Case in point, Rudy Gay.
You said it. I didn't have to be the one to bash Rudy Gay.
No, so it was me. It was me.
All right, so Philadelphia 76ers. Last year, they won a whopping 10 games.
Nice.
Barely avoided being tied for being the losingest team with themselves.
Solid
twice
this year.
Yeah. So, without Ish Smith, any chance they get to 10 wins again?
Yeah, that'll be better.
Okay.
I put them in the 15 to 20 range.
Yeah,
like,
I think that
really,
they
like that much of an improvement.
I'm giving them 22, 23 games because they still have some sort of front court rotation should work its way out of those guys. They should be able to put at least a reasonable average set of guys out there.
Yeah.
And they brought in competent, like Gerald Henderson, Jared Bayless, Sergio Rodriguez. You should be able to generate
Jared Bayless and Gerald Henderson are definitely NBA players. You know, maybe not the top of the line, but they're definitely NBA players. So,
right.
You know, and just with some luck, all you need is a little bit of luck and they could get 5 more wins this year, you know? So.
All right. So yeah, I'm going in the low 20s for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Yes.
All right. Ready to move on to the next team?
All right. Let's do it.
We're going to now talk about the most boring good team in the NBA.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the Toronto Raptors, who, I mean, last year, the Toronto Raptors were second in the East with 56 wins.
Yeah.
That's as many wins as our beloved 2007 Hornets had.
Yeah.
They had a really good season.
Kind of dream season, you know.
Yeah. All right, so what they basically did in the offseason is they went and got Jared Sullinger, and they decided not to pay Bismack Biyombo a giant contract.
Goodness.
They re-signed DeMar DeRozan. For a lot of money. And they drafted Jakob Poeltl. I'm hoping I said that right.
Is it like, do you say it like an R, like Squirtle, like Purtle Squirtle?
Purtle, I think it might. I think you might be right.
I have not.
I think I probably said it wrong.
I do not know. I'm genuinely asking.
And then they had some bad news because I believe Daylon Wright, they were hoping was going to be, edging his way into their guard rotation, and he hurt himself and probably is out for the season.
Yeah,
but so starting lineup projected right now, and I think this is pretty much as rock solid as you can get as far as starting lineups go. Kyle Lowry, DeMar DeRozan, DeMar Carroll, Patrick Patterson, and Jonas Valanciunas.
It's a good lineup.
Second line, Corey Joseph, Norman Powell, Terrence Ross, Jared Sullinger, and Jakob Poeltl.
good team.
I mean, yeah, that's some nice depth there. Like, none of those guys are going to knock your socks off, but Corey Joseph's a really solid backup player.
Corey Joseph is a great player.
Yeah, and Sullinger, for all of his many flaws, like, the dude can rebound like you can't believe, and he's a pretty solid basketball player.
Corey Joseph is like the typical, like, oh, we're going to go sign a Spurs system guy because we know he's going to be good. And most of the time they're not, but Corey Joseph is. Like, he's the guy who, all right, I'm going to be the calming presence on this team, I guess, because I know what I'm doing. Yeah.
Yep. Very solid basketball player. So, I mean, that's not a whole lot of change.
No.
I
still think they improved. Like the people they lost were their front court people. They lost Luis Scola and Biyombo. I don't think Biyombo.
And Biyombo's good. Like,
he's good. Yeah, there's, you know, I don't know how, who knows about the age thing, but it doesn't matter. Like, he's serviceable, good, athletic, big. I don't think he would have played as much had Valanciunas not gotten hurt. Right, he got hurt in the playoffs, right? Isn't that what happened?
Yep.
But I think with Jakob and Sullinger, I think that's a better, and now a healthy Valanciunas. I think that's probably, at the very least, you know, comparable to Scola, Biyombo, and Valanciunas. I think they improved a little bit. I mean, and if anything, they avoided committing money where they didn't need to commit money. So I think they had a pretty solid. Oh, and they extended Dwayne Casey. About that one.
They did, their coach.
Which, how did you feel about that? People didn't think he was the best coach, but people liked him. I don't know too much about.
Everybody's always got to like classify coaches as just amazing or terrible.
Right.
I think Dwayne Casey is fine.
Yeah.
He's an average NBA coach. If you expect him to lift your team beyond its talents, you're probably crazy. Mm-hmm. And if you think he's not going to drag you down really either, he's going to Like the coaches that really make impacts are not playing their star players or their best players or riding somebody they shouldn't.
Right.
But like I guess the guy you could argue maybe he's riding a little bit too much is DeMar DeRozan on this team, but what's his other option? Terrence Ross? Like, that guy's not any better.
Yeah. He's worse. They've done a great job with what they have. You know, who would have thought the Raptors would be back in the conference final 2 years ago? So it makes sense. You know, why change it? You know,
yep.
Don't fix it if it ain't broken.
So, like I said, we'll get to the win total first. 56 wins last year, second seed. I'm assuming you think they're going to win about the same. Is there any chance that they played as well as they possibly could last year?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, Lowry's a good guy to look at, I think. Because people talk about this age thing. It's like, does he have another jump in him? Oh, he's like, he is who he is. They say this. People say that about people who are like 25, but then still think other people have a jump left in them at like 28, and it's this arbitrary like age thing that I really don't like. But like, no one thought Kyle Lowry would be as good as he was, and like he had his best season at what? How old was he last year? Like
he's 30.
30. You know, he had his best season at 30 years old as a point guard. It's very unexpected, but I think he comes down. Like I think they'll come down a little bit. I don't know if they can. You know, the only thing is they just need him and DeRozan to play well in the playoffs, and they haven't done that. They still didn't even really play that well in the playoffs this year and made it as far as they did. You know, they're not going to get past LeBron, but right. I think they'll come down a little bit. But I still think they'll probably be their 2 or 3 seed and probably make the conference final.
Yeah, so I've heard a lot of people say the same sort of thing, that they're not really going to get much better. They're pretty much played as – and I think that people are looking too much at Kyle Lowry, that like Kyle Lowry can't probably take it to another level.
No.
And I'm not going to say he can't. I don't expect Kyle Lowry to suddenly be even better than he was last year.
No, but what last year was?
He was really good.
He was good. They need the people around him to step up now.
Right. But so let's talk about that front. Yeah. Like DeMar DeRozan's 27. He is what he is. I don't expect him to change that much. Do you?
Not really. I mean, there's things, you know, there's always things you could do better, but he's not going to all of a sudden become Kobe. No.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Damari Carroll, though, like he missed more than half the season last year, and he was still hurt in the playoffs.
Yeah.
So, if he comes back and plays like the Damari Carroll we saw in Atlanta, there's some chance for improvement, right?
Yep. Valanciunas
is 24.
Yep.
Bigs actually do take a little. They like guards usually peak at around 24, 25 with their stats.
Yeah.
Big men usually take a year or two longer, so we might not have seen the best of Valanciunas. So they have Jared Sullinger is 24. Maybe he'll stop eating, you know, so many donuts.
I don't think so. I think that's why the Celtics, you could say, like they withdrew their qualifying offer just to, you know, because they had to sign a guy to a max, but they could have afforded to keep him at that. You know,
yeah.
I think the fact that says a lot about how they thought. You know, his commitment was. I think there's nothing about his talent level that's holding him back. So, I don't know.
Yeah. So, I mean, I just look at the team, and I feel like this is a team that has an opportunity. They could be a little bit better, a little bit worse, but, you know, they are probably going to end up right where they are.
Yeah.
I think that Boston's actually going to be a little bit better than them this year, but not a whole lot better.
It'll be close. So, like, they're going to be competitive. Those are two. I just don't think, you know, you get back to this thing where, like, well, regardless of how well either of them does, they're not going to get past Cleveland unless somebody gets injured on Cleveland,
right.
You know, so.
All right, so in case everybody hasn't heard this, DeMar DeRozan signed a monster $133 million deal this offseason with them.
Mm-hmm.
A huge extension. Only surpassed in total dollars by what Mike Conley did.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to ask you who the highest paid player is on this team.
Mm-hmm.
You have to guess who is the second highest paid player on this team.
Let's see. I don't actually think it is Lowry, but I think Lowry would be a good guess. Valanciunas is 24.
Yep, and in his new his extension, he signed an extension. It kicks in this year.
Ooh.
So I'll give you that hint.
I should know what it is. Well, if that's a hint, I'm just gonna guess him.
you're going Valanciunas?
Well, how much did they get Carroll for?
They gave Carroll a nice size contract last year, right?
Oh, I'm gonna go. Well, big men are typically more. Are they? I don't know. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna go with Valanciunas, even though I'm probably wrong.
You are correct, sir.
Oh, yes.
Jonas Valanciunas is making 14.4, rounding, $1 million this year.
And
Damari Carroll is making 14.2.
Oh, close.
Kyle Lowry is making 12.
There you go.
And if you take Kyle Lowry and add it to Damari Carroll or to Jonas Valanciunas, either one, there's the two. Those two players are still making less money than DeMar DeRozan.
So much money.
That's insane. The dude is like a slightly above average shooting guard.
Oh, he's more than that.
No, he's not.
You're just looking at stats.
I'm sorry. Like,
range shooter.
He is the new Rudy Gay.
He's really not that great. He is great though. He fits. They work together. The chemistry's good. He's a nice guy.
You know what the most surprising salary on this team is for me?
What?
Terrence Ross is making $10
million. Oh, I remember that because they gave him a big deal
one year,
and he never lived up to it.
Yeah, his own extension is kicking in, so he's making $10 million a year. Like, this is
a 50-point game back in the day. I remember that. That wasn't back in the day. It was like a year ago.
But, did he really?
Yeah, Terrence Ross dropped like 51 on somebody.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it happened. And it's crazy because he averages like 9.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did. Wow, I'd forgotten about it.
Yes.
Now that you say that, I think I remember it. Wow.
Yeah. So, who knows?
Well, he's definitely worth $10 million just for that then,
yeah,
right?
Exactly. Maybe he'll take off. Who knows? Well, and then that Norman Powell kid they got.
He looks pretty good.
Pretty promising. So.
He's got a chance.
They got some. Let's see. Terrence Ross is 25. Powell's, let's see, 23. So, yeah. They got, you never know. They could improve a little. They have room for improvement.
Maybe Jakob's going to come in and just tear up plays.
Maybe. Top 10 pick, you never know.
He's going to make Valanciunas sit down.
Doubt it. I would take Val. I think Val would be good for our team.
Oh, yeah.
I would.
Yeah, I wouldn't blink at that.
Not at all. Like, I would take him over Lopez.
Okay. Moving on to, for some people, the most interesting team.
I would say.
In the Atlantic Division. You think they're the most interesting team?
Oh, for sure.
Not best, but most interesting.
Yes. Definitely Absolutely. Not best.
Okay. And we're, of course, talking about the New York Knickerbockers.
They wanted people to talk about them. That was their offseason.
This is true. And people are.
Yep. Yeah.
So, in essence, they traded for Derrick Rose. They signed Courtney Lee away from the Charlotte Hornets. They brought in Joakim Noah, or Joakim. Did I call him Joakim?
Yeah, he's called him Joakim. I like that, actually, now. You know, someone the other day told me I look like Joakim Phoenix.
Really?
I was very happy. Really?
Thank you.
I've gotten Mary from The Lord of the Rings, one of the hobbits. That's the most common one I get. So I will take Joaquin.
Are you short?
Yeah.
Do you have hairy feet?
Yes.
Okay. Well, there you go.
I have long, curly, dirty, blonde hair. I exemplify the hobbit. And that's one of my... Yeah. I've read the books.
And you have second lunch?
I have more than second lunch.
That's right.
On more than one occasion.
Okay.
I can eat. I'll tell you that. I may be small, but I can put it away.
Right.
If I have one thing, I can eat.
So let's get back to the New York Knickerbockers. Because okay. there's Derrick Rose. So the starting lineup is Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Carmelo Anthony, Kristaps Porzingis, the Phenom, and Noah. I won't say his first name again and embarrass myself anymore.
I mean, that's got to be, just that starting lineup is the most interesting thing in this whole division.
Mm.
To me.
Yeah. Yeah, like, why is Noah in it?
I don't know.
Why didn't they go find, like, another small forward? and have Anthony at power forward and Porzingis at center.
I mean, why do they do a lot of things?
Like, and the funny part is that's why I brought up the problem with Noah, not the fact that he only played 20 games last year and was not good the year before.
There's a lot of things. There's just a lot of things where you're just like, why? Why did they trade for Rose?
Yeah. Well, actually, that trade made sense to me if they thought, like, I don't know, to me it just felt like kick the tires on him, get rid of some long-term salary, and go after something else.
Yeah, and get some jersey sales while you're at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it wasn't like, I didn't think that was crazy.
No.
I think Rose is finished as a good NBA basketball player.
Well,
but
he's their contender.
Oh, of course he does.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah.
They got him, and I think they got Brandon Jennings on a one-year deal, so they got two kind of run-and-gun, but not very efficient point guards.
So, yep, they went out and grabbed Brandon Jennings, who got hurt last year and missed a lot of the season.
Yep.
And then it was traded to Orlando from Detroit. They re-signed Lance Thomas.
Most interesting deal of the summer.
Yeah, we'll get to talk about that a little bit. They went in and got Drew's brother and brought him in.
Not a bad player, actually.
No, he's all right.
He was okay for Chicago last year. He was on Chicago.
Yep. And then they brought over one of their more recent draft picks in Guillermo Hernan Gomez.
Yeah.
Who
I would have done a much worse job on that one.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's probably completely wrong. But he was actually a solid center. He's kind of slow footed in Spain last year. So not a bad pickup. So I guess it is a pretty remarkable makeover. Like, they basically took their team. They added Derrick Rose, Courtney Lee, Noah Jennings, and Hernan Gomez to that team. And
how do any of these people compliment Porzingis?
Well, they say, hey, Porzingis, you're awesome.
I don't know why, that's hilarious.
They won 32 games last year. Do you think that this team compliments, and you can't just dismiss Anthony like that, man.
Mm.
Like, he's a three-time gold medal Olympian.
Yeah.
So Anthony and Porzingis, you got to think about both of them when you're thinking of a team to build around.
Yeah,
okay. So can't you see Derrick Rose drive into the middle of the paint and find an Anthony and Porzingis for finishing attack? Like, Rose is a distributor.
Is he?
No.
Is Jennings?
No. Well, Jennings has his moments. He's not. No,
he's not.
He's got very few moments.
He's not. Courtney Lee is like the one player on his team who I think is like, oh yeah, that's a good solid signing.
Yeah. But even he, I think he's 31 now.
He's 31, but like, he was a big impact guy for the Charlotte.
He did help them with their stretching the floor plan.
He did.
Is this team going to be stretching the floor?
I don't know what this team's going to be doing.
Yeah, I mean, that was the other thing, is they brought in, Hornacek,
yes,
from the Suns.
And that was interesting, because they're like, okay, we're going to be, like, we'll give him some wiggle room, you know, because they were trying to implement the triangle with Fisher. They didn't give Fisher any wiggle room.
Yeah.
They didn't let him do anything.
So
maybe he's just a bad coach.
Let me break from talking about the Knicks specifically for a moment, and let me ask you this question, just because it's weird to me. The Los Angeles Lakers and the Chicago Bulls both ran the triangle.
Yes.
The three-point line existed for both of those teams.
Right.
Both of those teams were very efficient scoring teams.
Yes.
They were first or second in the league every year that they were winning those championships running that system.
I mean, it helps when you have the best offensive players in the league, but yes.
It does. So, but I have the question I have is why, like, everybody laughs at the triangle, like, ha, 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 that's a dinosaur way of playing basketball. Like, there's no way it'll ever work. But is that true? Like, really?
I don't claim to be some kind of basketball NBA guru who knows the ins and outs of the triangle. But I've read some things, at least. I've done some research.
I'm proud you've read some things.
So I mean, the
everyone, let's listen to Graham. You know what I've read. He's read some things. We'll put that on your gravestone, you know, when you die.
That's
you read
something overlooked because a lot of people don't read things.
It's true.
I'll tell you that. A lot of people do not read.
Yeah, and sometimes you even write some things like, "Wow!" Like,
watch. I do a lot of watching too. Oh,
your eyeballs move.
It's not like the triangle is just like this one slow paced system where it's like either this or nothing. Like, there are elements of the triangle all over the place. You know,
yes, that's right.
There's a lot of, you know, and I'm so tired of it, but there's a lot of stuff out there about the Golden State Warriors with Steve Kerr and how they run something kind of similar to the triangle because that's what Steve Kerr knows, you know.
Right.
And yeah, it's not like, I don't know, he just wasn't able to make it work in New York, whether it was the coach he had, Phil Jackson, I mean, like whether it was the coach he had or him or the players or whatever, he just wasn't
talent.
Able to make work. Maybe the level of talent, whoever he tried to bring in there, you know, he couldn't make it work. And it's not just like, oh, the triangle's stupid. Like, no, that's, it clearly works a lot, you know, and still does. So the whole triangle thing is just, I don't know what he was trying to do. I can't speak for Phil Jackson and his coaching methods. I'm sorry.
Right.
But he wasn't able to make it work. But that doesn't mean that the triangle is some dumb, outdated thing. It, like everything else, it's got to keep up with the trends in the league, you know, and you can adjust it. And it has been adjusted in a lot of systems. So
yep.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. But here, Knicks, I don't know what the hell Knicks are doing.
All right. So let me ask, let's get back to the Knicks. And let me ask you just one question. Before we get to the inevitable salary questions, okay. Derrick Rose, is he better than an average NBA point guard at this point?
See, the point.
Like, so, and what I mean by that, let me even give you a little bit more than that. Like, think about the NBA point guards in the league today.
That's what I'm saying.
Is he better than 15th on that list?
No. There's a lot of good point guards in the league.
There's a lot of them.
There's a lot of them, and I don't think he is among the best of them. On his best day, he is among the best of them, but his best days are getting fewer and farther between. So, I don't.
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who, like, in his MVP season, I never, like, people loved him. Of course, he got the MVP, so a lot of people thought he was fantastic. I never really had him actually higher than, I think that year I had him third as far as point guards.
Yeah.
I never thought he was even the best point guard, much less the MVP of the entire league. But, like, this guy, his injuries have just turned him into, like, he's like Deron Williams.
No, not that bad. All right, that's too far.
Really?
You got to give him a little bit more credit. Deron Williams fell on his face. Like, he just disappeared. People.
So did this guy.
For like, four or five years in Utah, he was like a 20-10 CP3 or him best in the league guy. I don't think Derrick Rose had one MVP season and then got hurt. Like, it's very unfortunate what happened to him, but he didn't just get fat on a big contract, you know. Like, yeah, Deron Williams had a, like, ankle issues and all, but, you know, I think I don't know what happened to Deron, but I think Derek's probably a little bit above him.
Right.
And Derek's not old. How old is Derek?
No, I think he's 26 or 27. Let me,
like, if he can, he's not gonna, you know, completely redo his game, but if he can just get, like, a three-point shot or something, he could be around for a while. You know, he's not gonna be that explosive guy that he was, but if he can still have that change of pace game where he can stop and go and be crafty with the way he does things, he can be fine.
He is 27, by the way.
27? Okay. So, I mean, yeah, but I don't think he will be. I think he will, let's see, if he's 27, I think he'll be done by 32.
All right.
Which is,
so,
he's got years left.
I don't. I think he is on the Deron Williams track that he'll be being signed by some team for like $8 million a year in the next 5 years.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's likely. I don't think he's worth, I mean, somebody is probably, you know, could take a shot on him, but I don't think he's worth much more than that.
Right. Yeah. All right. So remember, he signed a giant contract.
Right.
So there's even a rule named after him, the Derrick Rose Rule.
Right.
They just gave Noah huge money to come, even though he's 31 years old.
And you still got Melo.
Still got Melo. So I'll give this one a little easy to you, I guess. I think it's easier. Mm. Who is the highest paid player on this team?
I mean, I know it's Melo.
you still think you don't think Rose has any chance of being higher?
No.
Okay. You're right. Yeah, it's Melo. Yeah, Melo's making $24.5 million.
We talked about this earlier, together. But Lance Thomas is in their top five contracts.
Yeah, he is number five. So they have Anthony at 24, Derek at 21, Noah at 17, Courtney Lee at 11, and then Lance Thomas. 28-year-old Lance Thomas, who was an end-of-the-bench minimum player for the Hornets, who I watched and never thought he was worth more than that for a second. $6 million a year.
And he fits in there. So if they put their five highest-paid players on the floor, they could actually put we have a point guard, shooting guard, two forwards, and a center. Hmm? He would fit in there. It'd be Rose, Courtney Lee, Melo
or Thomas.
And Noah.
Yeah.
Lance Thomas. I can't get over this. Why did they do this?
Because last year he actually hit some three-pointers.
Sure.
Yeah, it's weird because, like, Thomas for years, like, he was a guy who, you know, you wanted him to do well. You would watch him play, and he tried so hard. But then it was inevitable. You would go and look at box score plus minus, you would go and look at his, you know, defensive RPM, and he was always negative. He was always in that negative.
So, hey, I looked this up. He made 44 threes last season.
Okay.
Out of 109. So he's over 40%.
That's nice.
That is nice. But 44 threes in a season, it's not.
That's worth $6 million now.
It's a lot of money.
He also works. Like, I mean, as far as he's not gonna be a locker room cancer.
He's a he's a locker room guy.
Of course, I will say that the number one reason why this team will be much worse than they were last year is our friend Robin Lopez left.
Yeah,
that's really upsetting.
They lost a lot of people. They lost him. They lost a Flalo, who that's probably an improved.
Yeah, Lee is better than Aflalo at this
point. I think Derek Williams was good for them.
Yeah, I think Aflalo had quickly become like a majorly overrated shooting guard.
Yes.
So the Sacramento Kings went
of course.
Yeah, I mean,
that was my thing. You were trying to get me to cheer for them to beat us last year. There's no way. I will never, because we needed to tank. And you kept saying, no, would you ever, you know, what if it helped us get a better pick? No. I will never, ever hope that we are worse than the Kings.
It is kind of a sad state to be in.
It's too much for me. Like, I'd have some kind of mental existential breakdown. Like, what am I doing with my life? The Kings are better than my team.
All right. So, yeah, I mean, they did lose a bunch of different players because last season they also had Langston Galloway.
Yeah.
We all know where he went.
Oh, yeah.
And they lost Kevin Serafin.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot count on two games from Jimmer Fredette this year. And they actually did lose their starting point guard in Jose Calderon.
Yeah.
So all that information, they won a whopping, and I just had a mind blank, so I have to go look it up now because for some reason my brain stopped working. They won a whopping 32 games last season. Which is more than we won last year, so I shouldn't mock them.
That is true.
32 games last season. Does Noah taking Lopez's minutes, Rose taking Calderon's minutes, and Lee taking Aflalo minutes, and having Brandon Jennings off the bench equate to a lot more wins? A little more wins? No more wins?
A little more wins. Very Still a disappointing amount of wins for Nick.
People are excited about this team. They think this is a team that could make the playoffs. People are saying.
Okay, who is... Okay.
People.
What people?
There are people. They're on Twitter.
Who was the seed last year in the East?
Detroit Pistons.
No way. There's no way the Knicks make the playoffs.
Pacers were a 7th seed. Any chance to beat the Pacers?
No, the Pacers got better.
What about the Bulls? Bulls got worse. Or did they get worse? Sure. They're going to be an interesting team to talk about.
They had a similar offseason to the Knicks, where they signed people who don't necessarily fit just for the sake of signing big-name guys in, like, a transition year.
So
I think the Bulls is – I like the Bulls better than the Knicks.
So here's the complete list of the teams that finished above the Knicks last season.
Okay.
So they'll have to do better or have had better off seasons than these teams.
Okay.
Cleveland.
No.
Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Miami.
No.
Atlanta.
No.
Boston.
No.
Charlotte.
No.
Indiana.
No.
Detroit.
No.
Chicago.
Maybe.
The Washington Wizards.
Maybe.
Orlando Magic.
Maybe.
You had to think about that one. Like, it's really hard to like figure out.
Well,
like,
Orlando, that'll be an interesting one to talk about, whether they got worse or better.
Yeah.
They got people who can contribute.
Yeah.
So I think they'll be better. If Orlando finishes, I think that's telling, the fact that Orlando could finish better than the Knicks next year. And I wouldn't be that surprised if that happened.
Last, the Milwaukee Bucks.
God, who knows with the Bucks?
Yeah, I'm not betting on the Bucks to do anything.
Yeah, I'm not either. But, like, I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks got into the 40s. Like, they have enough talent on that roster to get 45 wins, but it doesn't – I just don't think it fits. I don't think any of it fits.
Yeah, and the weirdest thing about it, it's going to be injuries. I'm 100% convinced it's going to be injuries because Cleveland, Toronto, and the Celtics, 1, 2, 3 – That's locked in iron for me.
Yeah.
But I'll be Miami, Atlanta, Charlotte, Indiana, Detroit, Chicago, Washington, Orlando, Milwaukee. Well, not I wouldn't count Milwaukee and New York.
Up in the air. It's really up in the air.
Those teams, any of them could be number four for me.
Yeah.
Even New York could be number four if everything goes right.
Yeah.
They could be number four.
It is really up in the air. It really is. Yeah, who knows with Atlanta. It'll be interesting next year. It's a lot. There's a lot of change going on. And then next year, next offseason, you're going to have all the point guards switching around. There's a big point guard offseason next year. So there's a lot of reshuffling going on these 2 years. Reshuffling of the guard.
Yeah. So let me ask you a philosophical question about the New York Knicks before we end this thing.
Oh, my gosh.
Kristaps Porzingis.
Yes.
He's the hotness.
He's been forgotten.
He's their future. Well, I don't know if he's been forgotten, but he's definitely marginalized with Anthony and Rose on the team.
Yes.
A lot of people are very upset about that. Are you upset about it? And, like, so, you gotta remember, he is 21.
Mm-hmm.
He's a big man, so he's not having the ball in his hands anyways.
Right.
If I think about Anthony Davis at 21, which was not this year, but the year before,
right.
Was he ready for prime time? Everybody should be built around me and get me the ball so I can do my thing already at that point. Do you feel he was?
No.
So is it a disaster that there's another season where he's not the man?
No. Like, I don't think it's – but, like, are they set up in the future to build a team around him? They got – well, Rose is – he's just
– he's up this year.
So
– he's a rental.
He is up. She did commit long-term money to Noah.
But Noah's not an offensive hub.
No. So, I mean – yeah, I mean, they still have – who knows what happened next year. It is – it's not like they mortgaged their future. It's not like they doled out a bunch of draft picks and committed long-term money to people too many people or something. So, I mean, it's not like a crime that they haven't like screwed over Porzingis or anything like that. So it's, you know, it's not as bad as I'm making it seem, but it's, I don't know.
I mean, there is a lot of analogs between Noah Porzingis and Davis Oshik. Like, it's a very similar situation.
Yeah.
But I'm still not at all upset that they brought in Oshik to put next to Davis. Like, the contract they gave him was too much, whatever. Like, the idea of what they're doing there.
No, fans wanted that for years.
Right.
Right? Like, people wanted Oshik. Like, I'm not upset they went and got a guy that they wanted and that we wanted and that people thought was good and would be good. You know, it's not upset they did that. But Noah, it's not the same deal. He's overall and injured. And
being paid $17 million, yes, right?
You know, that, you know, that's different than like a 25-year-old Oshik.
So, right. Mm-hmm. And so in that respect, it's a bad thing. But like, I just feel like it's being a little bit overblown that it was overblown when they were saying, oh, this team should be 100% built around getting the ball to Davis and letting him do his work, which he was not ready for. He was sort of ready for it last year, but still not. He's not all the way there yet. No, he's not a dynamic scorer on his own.
Nope.
If anybody watched Porzingis last year, Porzingis was not a dynamic scorer on his own. No. He's got some nice talent. He could be.
Yeah, and maybe Derrick Rose will be better for him than Calderon. I mean,
maybe. I mean, I'm not saying that Derrick Rose is the ideal thing, but it's like if somebody is going to like seriously come to you and tell you that 21-year-old Kristaps Porzingis is going to be stunted, his team is going to suffer in the future because Porzingis has to play next to Anthony and Rose for one season.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's one season.
It's ridiculous.
No, he's not. You know, it might be good for him to play third. You know, third.
It was probably very good for him to play third, quite honestly.
So you're right in that it is overblown a little bit. I still don't like it, but it is overblown.
The Noah deal.
I mean, come on.
That Noah deal is on the short list of replacing Oshik as worst contracts in the league right now.
Yeah.
Right up there with Mozgov.
That one was. They gave Hibbert such a short, like you can understand it with Hibbert for the Lakers. They went and got him on like we're going to give you a prove it short deal. You know, because we're not good. We're not going to be good. We got young talent we're waiting on, right? Just go out and replace him and just give out, just dole out this money. I don't know.
To a guy who couldn't even crack a rotation for his team.
No. Yeah. I think it was he had confidence issues, but
whatever.
Who cares? Who cares what the issues were? He still couldn't get on the court.
Nobody else was offering him that money.
No.
Like, there was not a chance that anybody else. I mean, Festus Ezeli is a better basketball player, and he could barely scrape together a $16 million offer over 2 years.
Great, yeah, he was crawling to $16 million a year.
Yeah, poor guy. $16 million only.
Only scraping together double. You know how many digits is that? Too many. I can't even count that high.
Right. All right. So that is our Atlantic Division preview.
Who's going to win the Atlantic? You still say Celtics?
I think the Celtics are gonna edge out the Raptors by two or three games. I'm pretty bullish on the Celtics in general.
Okay. Right.
Or is it bearish? It is bullish, isn't it? Now I feel really stupid.
Do
we need to end this before I sound any more stupid?
I froze in.
The bullish Bears and Joakim Noah. Right.
I think Joakim Noah sounds. I like that. Good.
Highlights of the podcast. So thanks everybody for listening to In the Know, and we will try to get all of the season previews wrapped up before the season starts. But we might go a week into training camp, and if you don't like it, too bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
Deal with it.
Yeah.
All
right. Yeah.